T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, final hour of the program. Stoney in for Marty today till noon on News Radio 1020 KDKA. A little dreary out there today. I think we're going to have this kind of weather. Maybe the sun will break through later on, but maybe we'll end up getting some more rain out of it. And yes, I think that's probably a good thing, because if your lawn is starting to look like mine is, oh boy, you just go, it's stressed. I went to the garden shop because these guys that come out and take care of your lawn. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a lot of companies. Anyways, good company. You know, they do a lot of lawns. And so we had them for a few years, and they were charging us to do it, and they came and fed the lawn like they do periodically. But we were starting to get, what happened is every time the guy came, he would find, it seemed like he would find other things wrong with our lawn that was already being treated. And so when the guy showed up to spray the lawn, it was, it really wasn't so much the spraying of the lawn. It was a sales call, right? It was like, you know, these bushes have a little problem here, so we're going to spray for these kind of insects. And, oh, this kind of moss is growing. Well, aren't we covered for that? Well, yeah, no, we don't do that, but you can add that to it. So anyway, it turned into this a la carte menu of chemicals to be added to the chemicals that were already being applied to the lawn. So I thought, okay, this is getting ridiculous, because every time he came, it was something else. It was something else, and it was like, yeah, well we didn't see that coming. The weather's been hot. Millions of excuses, right? So we dropped him. And I had always done my own lawn care before, and I thought, I could do this again. So began doing that. Anyway, so I went to the garden store. Really good people. I love these guys, and they give good advice, and you can actually have a conversation with them, so which you can't do in a lot of places these days. I said, you know, what's a good thing to put on the lawn now? It's stressed. It's not lost, but it's stressed. And he said, it's heat. Don't put nitrogen on it now. It'll probably burn it unless you've got exactly the right application and mixture. I wouldn't do anything. And he said something that really made my head turn. He said, milorganite. And I said, milorganite? My mom, when I was a kid and we were growing up in Detroit, she would always put milorganite on our lawn. And she had the most beautiful lawn in the neighborhood, honestly. Really had a green thumb, knew what she was doing. And milorganite is made from like sludge. So it's rich in nutrients, right? I think it's a company in Michigan that makes this stuff. And, so we used to kid my mom, it's like we're putting garbage on the lawn, but it was full of nutrients that made the grass so green and so wonderful. And yet it was gentle on the lawn. So I said, really? Milorga? He said, oh yeah. He said, gardeners know that, golf courses use it. It's one of the best things. I said, that's so funny, because we gave my mom such a hard time about milorganite. He said, the problem is that it's growing in, this is not a commercial, but this is something that I use. I mean, they make a good product. The problem is that people are becoming more and more aware of it, and people want to be more organic in their gardening and not putting chemicals on. And so we're putting sludge on the lawn. It's black and it's granular, and you just spread it with a spreader. He said they can't keep, something happened with the factory. They're back ordered till October. I said, you're kidding. What? They don't have enough garbage in Michigan? Are you kidding me? But apparently it's become really popular. And I don't know if they had a slowdown or something like that. But that's my whole thing is giving some food. And he said, if we get some rain, and he was looking ahead, he said, looks like we're going to get a few days of rain here. He said that's the best thing. The lawn, if it isn't lost, and it's not, he said if it's stressed, it'll come right back, especially if it cools down just a little bit. I mean, 70s and 80s, that's fine. When we got into those 90s and those real hot summer days that we've been having, the lawns just simply can't take it. So it's good. We'll probably get more rain today, and again, most definitely on Sunday. And what do you care about tonight? You're going to be watching Steeler football. Oh, boy, here we are. All set to go again. So that's my gardening tip for the day. The bishop is in Denora. I'm going to get him on. He's been waiting here. Bishop, welcome to KDK, my friend. What's up?
Yeah, Brother Stone, let me get my couple points out here real quick here.
Okay.
I want to finish up about the bomb, you know, by being
Nagasaki.
An equalizer or a game changer. But also that we, the Americans and the Soviets, we captured a lot of the scientists from Germany. It was a race on, and I would love to get, I think we got the better ones.
We did.
They got some good ones too, but we got the better ones that was able to develop that bomb even faster.
That's right.
Now I'd like to find out what was the name of that documentary, because I'd sure like to, if I can get it on DVD or look at it, I'd like to see that.
I don't remember. I think it was called The Making of the Bomb, and it came out in 1947, and it was on, you know, the movie channel. So I got to look up the title of it. I don't remember the title of it, but I knew it came out in 1947, and it had to do, it was a documentary concerning the making of the atomic bomb in World War II. It's fascinating.
If you can remember that. If you can remember that, and I'll talk to you Saturday, maybe I can
maybe
get it, but I'll try to find it. But at the same time, with Donald Trump, all these personalities that he had in his cabinet, nobody wants to work for him. But at the same time, they all get an indictment. Look at Collins, who was the first one that came out for Donald Trump,
yeah.
The first congressman. And, you know, that
Chris Collins.
It's terrible. I think that our country is going down the drain in a lot of ways, and it does need to be a shift coming in 2018 for one of those houses. And I'm hoping for the guy that America will be pulled out. I know they're still counting the votes, and I think they still got to count the absentee votes.
Yes, yes.
Which I heard that might be in his favor. I don't know, but I hope that he'll be able to pull it out, but hopefully in 2018. And I got to tell you something, Brother Stoney.
Yes, sir.
This food security stuff is getting out of hand here with these armed guards. I just don't believe in that. I'll talk to you Saturday, but have a great day. I know you're up against a break.
All right, my brother. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you. Now there is a prime listener right there. He knows I'm up against the break. I love that. Bishop, we will talk more about that. And, armed shooters in schools, as is happening in the news today. You've probably been hearing. I want to pick up where the bishop started. Today is the day that really brought World War II to the end. We talk about Hiroshima, but it was Nagasaki that was the blow that made them capitulate. Are you listening anywhere? A couple of things, people commenting, talking about my lawn. somebody, you're absolutely right. That was your first major mistake, chemicals. You're absolutely right, putting chemicals on the lawn. There's other ways to do that, right? Live and learn, right? And then I was talking about Milorganite, and somebody wrote and said, it's not garbage, it's sewage that's used for Milorganite. That's right, excuse me. If you ever notice the stink about a week after you put it down. Yes, that's what we always used to say to my mom. I was like, Mom, it stuff smells. And then it goes away. But it just kind of is because you smell the lawn, you know. But it really does work. And that's right. It's sewage, Milorganite. It's good stuff. And I can't believe it. Again, Michigan doesn't have enough sewage. Come on. While we were in the spot break, we were talking about cars earlier, and I don't want to overdo this, but I saw this, and it just made me shiver. There is a company, this was from some ad, and then I saw this company. It's called Cool and Vintage. Cool and Vintage, and they are in Portugal. But they are they're a company that restores Land Rovers, you know, the big English, or I think they're English, Land Rovers. And I just think they're one of the coolest. They're not SUVs, but they're even cooler to me than a Jeep. You always see them a lot of times in Africa, you know, going on expedition. And those older ones are just square and box-like. They're very expensive. The new ones now are, oh my gosh, unbelievably expensive. And the old Land Rovers have never been cheap either. But this company does about, they must cost an arm and a leg, because this story about this company, Cool and Vintage, they restore about 12 to 14 Land Rovers a year. So if they've got a thriving business and they only do about 12 or 14 cars a year, I can only imagine what they're costing. But oh my gosh, there is a, I take my car, the guys over at Foreign Traffic up on Route 8, always do great work. They're real mechanics, and they know your car, and they know you, and they know what's going on with your car. And I love that, because so many places now it's like they put it on the diagnostics, and what it tells them, that's what we got to do. These guys do a real inside stuff. Anyway, they have and have had for years in the back part of the lot a Land Rover sitting there. It's completely rusted out. The bottom, there's no floor in it. There's I don't even think there's an engine in it. But the frame and body is restorable, and there's weeds growing up in it, and you know it's been sitting there for a long time. And I thought, exactly what I've been looking for. So I went to Sonny and Nick, and I said, are you guys looking at selling that? Is that a restorable? And they said, yeah, it's very restorable. And no, we're not. One of the owners is going to have it restored. And I said, nuts, because, you know, it's always great to find something in really bad shape. But now I got to check this this company out, this Cool and Vintage, because Land Rovers are just the coolest thing. They're really trucks on wheels. I mean, they've luxuriated them now. Josh Miller, I think, used to have one. He was over here at the Fan. And they're neat, but they're too, I mean, leather seats and all that. I want cloth seats, you know, and the three-way seat belt and the three on the floor, and then the overdrive and the four-wheel drive. And I like the ones that have, every once in a while you see them, the ones that have the tires mounted on the hood of the car or the bonnet of the car. Oh, fantastic. So I'm on another geek patrol here. Pardon me. 866-391-1020. Somebody wanted to know what was the lawn service that I dropped. I'm not, don't think me rude. I'm not going to answer that. And I'm not even going to text you back. I'm sorry. I'll leave it at that. 866-391-1020 is the number. And you can also text to that. And that, of course, is brought to you by Wright Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. And if you want to send an email, a Dollar Bank Instant Access, always available to you, kdkaradio.com. Coming up in the final half hour of the program, Chris Moore is coming up at 12:05 today. In this final half hour, today was the day, really, that ended the war in Japan. Everybody talks, we always do, and we'll never forget, August 6, 1945, when America dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima in Japan. But 3 days later, it followed with the dropping of the bomb on Nagasaki. And again, like so many things that happened in World War II, it wasn't the original plan to go to Nagasaki. And I'll tell you that story in the next half hour, because it's just fascinating what this country accomplished, and the number of lives obviously that were taken as a result of the dropping of that bomb, but also on the other hand the number of lives that were saved because of that dropping of the bomb on Nagasaki. So we'll talk about that. Now we're getting somewhere. I got a text from Mitch. He says, my neighbor has a Land Rover. He drives every week. He wanted to sell it last year. Text me for his phone number. Dude! All right. And to wrap this up, we're talking about Milorganite at the top of the hour. Don sends me this. He said, it's Milwaukee Organic Nitrate, hence the name Milorganite. Good on grass, right, but not in veggie gardens, right, since it is sewage sludge. Became popular because of all the beer breweries flushing old hops into the system. I knew it. It had something to do with a good beer. Hey, thanks, Don. That's terrific. Listen, we're going to take a break. News update Rose Ryan Douglas joins us now, and then we will get into this story about how the war ended in World War II on this day in 1945. Stoney in for Marty, News Radio 1020. It's KDKA Radio. Hi, welcome to the program. Good morning, I should say. Stoney in for Marty. We go till noon today, as always. Okay, well, wow, this is good. Somebody just sent me a text, and this says, Milorganite isn't considered organic. Okay, boy, I'd like to, it's not on the OMRI list. All right, I'm going to look that up. That's good. And then you put this other comment in here, which I, forgive me, I don't quite understand. It says the Rover, we're talking about Land Rovers, is all original. 80s? So I'm not sure what that meant. Send me something else that explains what that means, because I'm just not getting what it is you're trying to say. And I know you're trying to be short on a text. That makes sense. Send it. 866-391-1020. We got a lot of things going on today. You can call or you can text to that number. Dollar Bank Instant Access, always available to you, kdkaradio.com. Today is a very important day. I never forget this because, I mean, it was when we entered the nuclear age. And there's still controversy. There are some people that say we should have never dropped the bomb, the bombs on Japan. But it was done so that we would not have had to invade Japan. And if you are up on World War II history, the sacrifices that are American soldiers made in Okinawa and Iwo Jima and Saipan and Guadalcanal as they did the island hopping through the Pacific to get to Japan, you would think again. I mean, we're removed from it now all these decades, so we can say, yeah, I don't know. But go back to 1941, 1943, and 1945, okay? So by August of 1945, the Manhattan Project had produced two types of atomic bombs. The 509th Composite Group of the United States Army Air Forces, equipped with the specialized silver plate version of the Boeing B-29 Superfortress. Those are beautiful planes. They flew from Tinian in the Mariana Islands, which we conquered through the island hopping. Orders for atomic bombs to be used on four Japanese cities were issued on July 25th, or 25 July, 1945. On 6 August, one of its B-29s dropped a little boy uranium gun-type bomb on Hiroshima. 3 days later, on August 9th, a Fat Man plutonium implosion-type bomb was dropped by another B-29 on Nagasaki. This is only the beginning of this story. The bombs devastated their targets. Over the next 2 to 4 months, the acute effects of the bombings killed 90 to 146,000 people in Hiroshima and 39 to 80,000 people in Nagasaki. Roughly half of the deaths in each city occurred on the first day, and probably most in an instant. Japan announced its surrender to the Allies finally then on August 15th, 6 days after the bombing. The way they got this, there was a fella, and remember, I saw this documentary on the movie channel, and it had to do with, and may have been titled, "How America Built the Bomb," how we built the bomb, and it was came out in 1947, and I was just fascinated by the number, the hundreds of thousands of people that pitched in to work and businesses and what they did to make these bombs. And as the bishop was saying, we captured a lot of these guys from Germany, and a lot of these guys willingly came over from Germany. Yes, deals were made. Under the direction of Major General Leslie Groves of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, he appointed J. Robert Oppenheimer to organize and to head the Project Los Alamos Laboratory in New Mexico, where the bomb design work was carried out. Two types of bombs were eventually developed, both named by Robert Serber. Little Boy was a gun-type fission weapon that used uranium-235, a rare isotope. Remember, this was all new in those days, separated at the Clinton Engineer Works at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. No, not that Clinton stop. The other, known as Fat Man device, was a more powerful and efficient but more complicated implosion-type nuclear weapon that used plutonium created in nuclear reactors at Hanford, Washington. You know what? We got a couple of calls here. I'll get back to this, but this is pertains to what we're talking about. Lance is in Squirrel Hill, a reaction to dropping the bomb in Japan. Lance, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
You know, if there's any Americans that think that we should not have dropped the bomb, they're absolutely crazy. And the young people today have no idea what the war was like with Japan. Number one, they attacked us at Pearl Harbor, killed our men, sunk our ships, everything. What we were supposed to do after that, had we not have dropped the bomb, we'd have probably lost a half a million troops or more trying to invade Japan and everything like that. Not only that, they were extremely cruel and very hard fighters also, which we, you know, they would not give up. So that was the only alternative. And any person who thinks that we shouldn't have dropped that bomb is absolutely crazy and out of their mind, because they better go back and look at the ships and the boys that sunk and burned in the oil and everything like that. They're still entombed in their graves in those ships. They attacked us. That was the declaration of war. And you know what? They should have dropped more if they hadn't have surrendered, and they probably would have.
Lance, did you live through the war?
No, I didn't live through the war, but my uncles all served.
I see,
One uncle was on the ship with the Indianapolis.
He Oh, my gosh. The Sharks, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. He remembers when they were tied together in groups of 40 and 50 with ropes.
Oh, my God.
The Sharks would come at night and attack them, and as they were attacking the person who was tied to the ropes, they'd have to cut the guy loose and give him to the Sharks and not know who the next one
was. Yeah, it's a horrible, horrifying story.
He had dreams of, he was a machinist in Lawrenceville for Hemphill or whatever it is over there in Lawrenceville, and he had dreams for 20, 25 years about that.
Lance, thank you for your call. God bless you, my brother. I really appreciate you taking the time to call. And you are right on the nose there, my friend. Take it out of context, it seems maybe did we have a choice. Put it in context, we had no choice. Thank you very much. And now let's take a look at the leaderboard update. Joe DiStio has the information for you on KDKA. Oh, yeah. Gentleman that just called, talking about the USS Indianapolis. And that is that's a great story. And it was a story that was told by Robert Shaw. Enjoy.
Japanese submarine slammed two torpedoes into our side, Chief. He was coming back from the island of Tinian to Lady, just delivered the bomb, the Hiroshima bomb. 1,100 men went into the water. Vessel went down.
He goes on. It's a long, but wonderful speech. If you can look it up, Robert Shaw, Jaws, Indianapolis speech, and it just shudders you when you hear him. The reading that he does of that monologue is absolutely fantastic. So this was the day that the bomb was dropped, and as that gentleman was saying, the United States really had no choice in this, and they knew that this was going to. As in that movie that I was talking about the other day, they ask FDR. He says, "What do you think the Germans? What would Hitler do if he had the bomb?" And an advisor said, "Mr. President, sir, he would use it." And FDR picks up the phone. And he said, "Get me the bomb." It was just a great scene. Various sources gave conflicting information about when the leaflets, we dropped leaflets on the cities that were going to be bombed prior to the atomic bomb. The United States Air Force history noted that 11 cities were targeted with leaflets on July 27th, but Hiroshima was not one of them, and there was no leaflet sorties on July 30th. Leaflet sorties were undertaken on August 1st and August 4th. Hiroshima may have been leafleted in late July or early August, as survivor accounts talk about a delivery of leaflets. And one of the things it said is, we cannot promise that only these cities will be among those attacked. And Hiroshima, if you prefer, was not on that list. When they actually got to Nagasaki, and the reason it was picked, it was among the cities to be bombed, the four largest companies in the city of Nagasaki were Mitsubishi Shipyards, Electrical Shipyards, Arms Plant, and Steel and Arms Works, which employed about 90% of the city's labor force and accounted for 90% of the city's industry. Good target, huh? In contrast to Hiroshima, almost all the buildings were old-fashioned Japanese construction consisting of timber or timber-framed buildings with timber walls with or without plaster and tile roofs. Many of the smaller industries and business establishments were also situated in buildings of timber or other materials not designed to withstand explosions. On the day of the bombing, an estimated 263,000 people were in Nagasaki, including 240,000 Japanese residents, 10,000 Korean residents, 2,500 conscripted Korean workers, 9,000 Japanese soldiers, 600 conscripted Chinese workers, and 400 Allied prisoners of war in a camp to the north of Nagasaki. When they flew in, the captain was Frederick C. Bach. So his bomber, his B-29, was known as Boxcar. B-O-C-K-S-C-A-R, boxcar. They flew in, and when they got to their target, their first target was Kokura in Japan. There was drifting smoke over Kokura from fires started by a major firebombing raid by 224 B-29s on nearby Yahata the previous day. So they bombed the steelworks, and so it was burning coal tar that produced black smoke. And the clouds and smoke were so thick in 70% of the area over Kokura being covered, obscuring the aiming point, that they couldn't drop their bombs. They didn't want to drop that one bomb, because if they missed, you know, it just that the mission would be a failure. So after three runs over the city, and with fuel running low because of a failed fuel pump, Boxcar and a help plane headed for their secondary target, which was Nagasaki, and they dropped at about 7:50 Japanese time. An air raid alert sounded in Nagasaki, but listen to this: the all clear signal was given at 8:30, when only two B-29 Super Fortresses were sighted at 10:53. The Japanese apparently assumed the planes were only on reconnaissance and no further alarm was given. They saw them. They knew they were there. They went, what are they going to do? So at 11:01, in this hour in 1945, a last-minute break in the clouds over Nagasaki allowed Boxcar's bombardier Captain Kermit Behan to visually sight the target as ordered. The Fat Man weapon, containing 5 kilograms or 11 pounds of plutonium, was dropped over the city's industrial valley. It exploded 47 seconds later. A Mitsubishi Steel and Arms Works in the south and the Nagasaki Arsenal in the north were completely destroyed. The Urakami Valley and a major portion of the city was protected by intervening hills, but the resulting explosion released the equivalent energy of, I can't even read this number, they spotted the explosion from 100 miles away and flew over to observe. And when they landed, when they came back to Tinian and landed, the B-24 was almost out of fuel. It had 5 minutes left of fuel. Their brakes weren't stopping. They swerved on a 90-degree turn at the end of the runway, and all took a sigh of relief. But in 1945, at about this time, this is now 50 minutes after the bomb exploded, you can imagine, take a moment and just try to imagine what it was like in Nagasaki an hour, you know, less than an hour after the bomb had dropped. And then a few days later, in August, the Japanese unconditionally surrendered. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story of a country that would not lose.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.